You have said that, Lord God, and I have this situation here, and I'm coming to you, and I thank you that I know you will take care of it. I know that you are trustworthy. You said you will provide this. We need to bring to mind the promises that rightly and directly apply to our circumstances.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look at a very encouraging passage.
Yes, we will, Dave, and it is especially encouraging for those of us going through trials, where we will see the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And if you look at his children born of incest and the descendants, the Amorites and the Moabites, we see a hatred for God. I'm saying to you right now, for those who are playing games with God, living by sight and not by faith, maybe you're a believer, you're doing so, you might find out like Lot that your descendants are haters of God and his people. You need to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Okay, a little more context here. Notice it's significant that this account happens at a time when Israel is at rest. This was a time of spiritual victory. It was right after a period of great accomplishment of Jehoshaphat. And so indeed, in chapter 19, we see this great reformation Jehoshaphat carried out. Chapter 19, verse 4. So Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord, the God of the fathers. He brought them back to the Lord. He turned their hearts to the Lord, the God of their fathers. So then, what are we to do when we're blindsided by opposition, whether it comes from within, from without, from wherever it comes? And believe me, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to have opposition. The Lord made it clear, indeed, in this world you will have trouble. But take courage, I've overcome the world. So what do we do? Notice we have a tremendous example from Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel at this time. The first and foremost thing we do is seek the Lord. Look at this. Now it came about, chapter 20, verse 1. Now it came about after this, the sons of Moab, the sons of Ammon, together with the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. And so during this time, we have the unbelieving nations surrounding Israel who hated Israel, and they were about 15 hours away. You know, this is something like a tsunami warning. You got 15 hours before the tsunami hits. It's coming. It's pretty clear it's going to devastate the coastland. You've got a warning. You've got 15 hours. This is a real life and death deal. This is not a small thing. You know, some of you may have been blindsided by trials. Maybe you've got the diagnosis, whatever it might be. Something happened. It's very serious, and it's coming at you right away. So how did Jehoshaphat respond? Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. First of all, you know, our natural humanity, we're going to be afraid. We're going to go, whoa, what's happening, right? It's what do we do at that point after those first emotions come upon us? Things are going to happen. You know, if you say people, oh, we're not afraid. Well, in this situation, I think they're going to be afraid. I think you're going to be afraid. I think there's situations that come upon us that are going to cause us to initially be fearful. What could happen? We start to think about the situation. But notice, Jehoshaphat didn't stay there in the context of fear. And this is what we need to learn. He was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. He turned his attention to seek the Lord. This is where we fail so often. We are afraid and we don't turn our attention to seek the Lord. We turn our attention to seek help from someone else or whatever it might be. We want comfort from anyone and everyone. We need to first and foremost turn our attention to seek the Lord. He says here, he turned his attention to seek the Lord. Now, he also says, and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. Now, a fast was a visible symbol that the priority was to seek the Lord even over food. The priority to seek the Lord even over food. So notice what he says here in verse 4. So Judah gathered together to seek the help from the Lord, and they even came from the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. They came to seek the Lord. You know, we seek so many things when we're going through difficulties. We need to seek the Lord. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Seek the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 3, glory in his holy name, let those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done and his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. O Israel, his servants, sons of Jacob, chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. We need to seek the Lord. Folks, don't seek the help of mankind. Yes, God may use man to help you out. God may use a doctor, whatever he might do. God's going to use him, but seek the Lord. Don't seek in your difficulties mankind, because we are tempted to trust in mankind, to trust in them. Isaiah 31:1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, speaking of Israel, and rely on horses and trust in chariots because there are many, and in horsemen because they're very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. When you are going through difficulties, don't seek mankind. Now, there might be some mankind that know the Lord and they're going to point you to Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. But we need to seek the Lord. Whether you lost a job, whether your spouse left you, whether you got the diagnosis, whatever it is, whether you have opposition from those who are coming at you, it blindsided you. Seek the Lord. Go to the Lord Jesus. Seek his help. Mankind's not going to help you. Mankind's not going to deliver you. Only the Lord's going to fight your battles for you. Only the Lord will. We're going to see later on that the battle's not ours, but the Lord's. We think the battle's maybe someone else's. It's the Lord's battle. So at this point, we start to begin to see how Jehoshaphat's seeking was manifest. Because we can make up all kinds of things in our head on how we seek the Lord, but we're going to see specifically how he does that. Notice in verse 4, so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They came from the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Now look at verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord Yahweh, the God of our fathers. He begins to pray. First thing he does is go before the Lord with the people. That's how we seek the Lord. We seek the Lord in prayer. We're also going to see we seek him through his word, that he might speak to us through his word. We seek the Lord. And now in this prayer, we can learn much about how we're to seek the Lord. We're to seek the Lord, elevating his truth in our hearts as we pray. Sometimes we pray like, oh Lord, this has happened to me and there's no way anything could ever be done. That's not the truth. You're way above this. If you desire to do things, you could. You're faithful. You're strong. You're powerful. It's up to you. Notice what he says here. He says, O Lord, that's Yahweh, that's the great I am, the God of our fathers, art thou not in the heavens? Art thou not the ruler of the kingdoms of the nations, power and might in thy hand, so that no one can come against thee? Hey, you're above all this. Whatever I'm going through, you made me. You're stronger than that. You're above my enemies. You're above all the kingdoms. You're way above that. Are you not the God that is above all this? You need to see him as above your difficulty, above your situation. That majesty, power, and authority are his. That he is in control. He acknowledges his power, his sovereignty over the situation very clearly, because it's the nations that are coming against them. Art thou over the kingdoms of the nations? Power's in thy hand? And then notice he starts to quote God's promises in relationship to the situation. And we need to do that in our hearts. He does it in prayer. Look at this. We need to do it in our prayers. Verse 17, didst thou not our God drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, thy people, forever. And they lived in it and have built a sanctuary for thee, for thy name, saying, now here it's coming from back in the dedication of the temple, by the way, should evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, okay, evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, any of these things come against us, what are we going to do? We shall stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our distress, and thou wilt hear us and deliver us. Should stuff come upon us, we need to go to the Lord and cry out to him. And he's reminding us, say, hey, this is from your truth. Did you not, according to your faithful word, give us this land and promise to deliver us if we sought you? Didn't you promise that? You know, we need to bring to mind the promises of God that truly apply directly. And we need to call them out in a sense to the Lord as we are reminded of them. Father, you have said no temptation has overtaken us except that which is common to man. You've said this. You have said that you are faithful and will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. You've said this. But with the temptation, we'll provide a way of escape that we may be able to endure it. And I ask you to provide that way of escape, Lord. You've said that you will. Father, you said, seek first your kingdom and those things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You said this, Father. I know you're going to take care of us. We're in a terrible situation. You said this. You said this in your word, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears. You've said this in your word, Father, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You have said that, Lord God, and I have this situation here, and I'm coming to you, and I thank you that I know you will take care of it. I know you are trustworthy. You've said you will provide this. We need to bring to mind the promises that rightly and directly apply to our circumstances. So after acknowledging his power and sovereignty over the situation, he says, according to your word, you brought us this land and you said you'd help us. And then notice he makes his real-time petition in verse 10. And now, behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou didst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Behold how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us as an inheritance. They're standing on the promises. You gave us this as an inheritance, and these people that you didn't allow us to kill, that's true, they're coming after us. We know from Deuteronomy chapter 2, and you can read this, verses 3 to 12, that the Lord said, be very careful not to provoke Mount Seir, giving them that as a possession. He said, let them go by. He talked about the other ones. Let them go by. Don't provoke them. God had given them possessions because of their relationship, but they failed and didn't follow the Lord, and God would bring his judgment upon those nations. But God did not allow Israel to provoke them or fight against them. And now the very thing that God didn't allow happen is coming after them. And we have circumstances like this in our lives where the Lord has not addressed something. He's allowed it to happen, and now it's coming after us. And so he brings this real-time petition. He is standing on the promises. Verse 12, O God, will you not judge them? Judge them for what they're doing. Will you not take care of them? So we need to acknowledge the situation in prayer, but acknowledge God's sovereignty over it. Lord, this is happening, but you're way above it. But this is happening. It's real. We need to also relay the promises that apply to the circumstance. And then notice, we need to recognize our absolute inability to do anything. This is where we fall short times. This is the wonderful passage here. Verse 12, he says, will you not judge them? And he goes, for we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. This is great. This is where we need to be. We are powerless against them. We can't defeat these nations. It's impossible. Nor do we know what to do. We don't know what to do. And how many times have you been in a situation where you're totally powerless? You don't know what to do. Acknowledge that to the Lord. Lord, I'm totally powerless against this. I don't know what to do. But notice what he says. But our eyes are on thee. Hey, we're focused on you. So many times we are powerless and don't know what to do, and our eyes are not on Jesus. Our eyes are on pity party time, right? We're powerless. We don't know what to do. Oh, we have this big pity party. Rather than turning our attention to seek the Lord. And that's an evidence of where you're at. When something big comes upon you, if you're having a pity party, now we're all tempted to do that, but we need to turn to seek the Lord. But if we're in a pity party, we were tempted, now we went into the party, we're tempted there, we go into it, we're not those who are seeking the Lord. We're just powerless, we don't know what to do, and it stops there. But it shouldn't stop there. We are powerless, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. We need to do that. We need to have our eyes on Jesus. They've sought the attention to seek the Lord, didn't they? They turned to seek the Lord. That's where we fail. We don't seek the Lord. But he sought the Lord first of all in prayer. He sought the Lord first of all acknowledging God's sovereignty over the situation. He sought the Lord first of all acknowledging his promises. He sought the Lord and they and the people. And so this is the test. Are your eyes on him or not? If you're not seeking him in the context of prayer, I would say your eyes have been diverted. They need to get back on the Lord. Lord, in light of our inability, in light of our understanding, we're powerless, we don't know what to do, we have our eyes on you. You know, if that's where you're at, you're in a good position, even though things aren't very good around you. Now, we think our trials are bad. This trial is like we're going to get slaughtered trial. This is like we're going to die trial in 15 hours. We're not going to survive this trial. If they actually come and you don't intervene, we're going to die. That's a pretty big trial. And so yet their eyes are on the Lord. And they sought him in dependent prayer. Lord, we're powerless, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Are you going through a trial? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking him? Well, notice we don't just seek him through prayer alone. We seek him in the context of his word also. Notice what he says here in verse 15. And he said, listen, all Jerusalem and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Notice what happened back in verse 13. And all Judah was standing before the Lord and their infants and their wives, their children. Verse 14. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And so we have the Spirit of the Lord coming upon, evidently a prophet here. He's going to speak God's word. And he says, verse 15, I read it earlier. And he says, listen, all Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you. And when we're seeking the Lord, we need to go to the word of God and see what the Lord says to us. And notice what he says to them. He says, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. It's real, but don't fear, be dismayed. Why? For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. You see, when we're following the Lord, when we're walking with the Lord, when we're obeying the Lord, the battles we encounter are not ours. The Lord's. Now, we may encounter battles because of our sin, and we need to deal with our sin and get right with the Lord and trust him. He's gracious. He's kind. But when you're obeying the Lord, you're walking with him, when we encounter enemies, we see here the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. And when we seek the Lord's help in dependent prayer, we also need to seek him by listening to his word. We need to be quick to hear. Slow to speak, quick to hear, right? Well, how can you know what to do if you're not listening to the word? How can you know what to do? You're seeking the Lord, but how do you know how to respond if you're not listening to his word? Got to hear what he says. And I'm amazed at times how believers go through significant trials, yet seem to not know his very basic promises or seem to have forgotten them. Significant trials, very significant trials, but seem to have set aside or forgotten the basic promises that God has said in his word would surely apply. So this prophet says, listen, all Jerusalem, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, you too there. Thus says the Lord God to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. Hey, it's real. Why? Because for the battle is not yours, but God's. And again, when you are trusting in the Lord, everything that comes your way is His responsibility. We got to remember that. You know, as we step forward in obedience to the Lord and serve Him together, what comes at us, it's His battle, not ours. We can personalize it so easily because the attacks are so personal. It's the Lord's battle. It comes so personal, right? We live in a social media era where everybody gets canceled when they make a peep, right? You say the wrong thing, supposedly, and you're canceled, whatever it might be, and reviews and this and that, you get attacked on the internet, whatever it might be. The battle's not ours. The battle's the Lord's. Trust the Lord. Got to remember that. Remember what God told Jehoshaphat's dad, Asa, who didn't listen. He had trusted the Lord, and God gave him victory. And then he didn't trust the Lord, and notice what happened. Go back, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The context is basically, hey, you trusted the Lord and He fought your battles for you. But then you didn't trust Him and notice what happens. He would have taken care of you, but you didn't do it. 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. That means I'm not divided. I'm not going, oh, I'm letting, Lord, I'm seeking You. Notice what he says, you have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, surely you'll have wars. You didn't trust the Lord, Asa. God was searching to strongly support the one whose heart's completely His. You didn't do it, Asa. But here we see back in our passage, the battle is not ours, but God's. Seek the Lord. The Lord will fight the battle. Don't seek man's help. The only thing we seek in men is for others to seek the Lord with us. Together. Seek the Lord together. And that's the best advice you can come along someone going through difficulty. Hey, I'm going to seek the Lord with you. We're going to seek His help. We're going to seek His wisdom together. We're going to seek for His resolution, for His will in your circumstance. We're going to seek His comfort, the God of all comfort. We're going to do that together. So then, we seek the Lord because the Lord alone will fight our battle. And then notice, God gives those seeking Him another command. Verse 16, this is through the prophet. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them in the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. And then look at this. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Oh, do we need to hear this and need to respond rightly. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. Oh boy, wonderful. You don't need to fight the battle. Don't fear or be dismayed. The battle's not yours, it's God's. Just go out and obey the Lord, as you'll say, and let Him fight the battle for you. This is life and death. They could have said, oh yikes, I'm going to die. No, they're going to see they obeyed. You see, when we enter difficulty while we're following the Lord, it's His battle, not ours. He'll fight it. He'll fight it because He's with us. So go out, as we see, and face it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, not only do we seek the Lord in prayer, but we also need to seek Him, turning our attention to His Word.
Indeed, Dave, that's what the Israelites did. And what an answer from the Lord. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. You see, when we seek the Lord's help in humble, dependent prayer, we also need to seek the Lord by listening to His Word. We need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Well, brother and sister, are you seeking the Lord in prayer and through His Word? We pray you are. We pray that you come to truly realize the battle is not yours, but the Lord's.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.